We're happy to hear argument in our third case, North Carolina Wildlife versus North Carolina Department of Transportation. Mr. Holloman?
My name is Frank Holloman, and with me at council table is Kim Hunter and David Farron.
I think maybe you should pull it up a little.
Is this okay?
Better.
Great. Your Honors, this is a case of de novo review that we believe presents as fundamental a violation of NEPA as could be presented to the court. In analyzing the Monroe Connector bypass, the toll authority compared building the road to building the road and then denied they had done it at a time when they knew better. The whole purpose of NEPA is to have a transparent process of accurate analysis using accurate data to inform the decisions of the decision makers, but also to provide full disclosure to permitting agencies and to the public so that we can all rely upon the decision as one that is made out in the open, fairly, and based on good data and a good process.
When did the state acknowledge that there was, that they had made this error?
The state acknowledged that in litigation before the district court. In other words, its attorneys acknowledged the violation after the administrative record had been closed and after it was being litigated before the district court. And of course, their attorneys wisely and were obligated to admit that to the district court to preserve the credibility of their clients.
Well,
but the state did not do so during the important time period, which is during the administrative process.
They have this engineering firm, Baker Engineering, go back and reanalyze the no-build portion of the project based on that deficit.
They did have Baker Consulting go back and look at it, Your Honor, but that is no solution. As this court made clear in the Audubon case, dealing with the eastern shore, eastern part of North Carolina, this court gives a careful and searching look to determine if the agency gave a hard look and looks behind what its consultants did. There, this court even looked at the efforts that the consultants made to see whether the snow geese were present and discovered the consultants had gone in the summer when the snow geese were in Canada. Here, if you look behind the data, you will see the consultants are issuing very leading emails suggesting to the respondents that the Monroe Connector bypass is not included in the socioeconomic data at a time before which they had been informed it expressly was. So no matter how many times the consultants analyze the data, they can't remove from the data what is already in it. So in fact, their memo to the Fish and Wildlife Service, which assured the Fish and Wildlife Service it was not in the data, compounded the problem, did not resolve it. So a consultant here can't be a black box that you just turn to it and say, we hired a consultant.
Does your analysis take into account any culpability for the error? And if it does, what level of culpability based on these facts do you place on the state?
It does not. The culpability is, in the subjective sense, is not necessary. As one court said, Your Honor, the bottom line is that if the agency knows something is wrong with its model or data, it must disclose that fact. So we don't have to prove subjective bad intent, and we don't try to do that. But if you show...
Should it matter?
Well, I think it should matter to us as citizens, of course. Legally, though, the courts have said subjective... All you have to show is, the question is, did the agency act in objective good faith? And that is,
that's what I'm saying. So it might well matter in some circumstances when the governmental agency, a governmental entity, may be covered up facts or did something or knew the information but made an informed decision not to let, you know, in other words, they make an informed decision not to include the correct facts. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir, but if I could point to the obverse of that.
Sure.
If the government agency, in the best of intent, simply makes a mistake, but the mistake involves, as here, a critical factor that goes to the validity of the underlying analysis on which the impacts and alternatives determination is made, then there's a NEPA violation even if the people who made the determination are the nicest and finest people we know. Because the point is not that they just be good people.
Does the NEPA process have to be completely error-free?
No, it does not have to be completely error-free,
So then, when do we judge when an error? No, I'm just asking questions about your analysis.
All right.
The law.
Here, but
let me finish. So then, what factors do we look at to decide when an error is made, if it's critical to the process, and do we take into account any remedial steps taken by the agency?
Well, first, the important fact here is, or the important factor here is, that you cannot have a valid NEPA analysis, and particularly a valid NEPA impacts analysis, unless you have a validly determined no-bill scenario. And you cannot have a valid no-bill scenario if it uses data that includes the project, the built project, within the data. So that is the most fundamental of all NEPA violations. If the error is minuscule, insignificant.
No, could the agency then take into account the fact that the scenario you describe, but then they adjust their analysis, even incorrectly so, but they take it into account, could they then make the process acceptable?
I think I have to give you a conditional answer, possibly, because as this court said in Audubon, each of these cases is fact and situationally specific.
So I have the same question. It seemed to me that if, and I'll ask the other side this question, if they had acknowledged this error during the administrative process and made some account for it in some fashion, we would be in a wholly different situation.
You would be in a wholly different situation now. They would have to do, though. They would have to explain this.
But you would have a much harder...
Indeed.
You have a pretty hard road as it is.
Indeed, it would...
A pretty hard no road.
Indeed, it would be harder, Your Honor, but they would be required, under established precedent, they would have to explain why.
What's the minimal amount they could do to make the process satisfactory, in your opinion, under the law? What would they have to do at this point?
What they would have to do is
you understand I'm asking minimally now? Not
yes, sir. And remember, we have three independent and separate bases, any one of which is adequate for a required process.
I'm asking you, and take the least offensive of those, give me what you, because I want to see what you think under this era.
Right.
What is the minimum that the state could do, in your opinion, to satisfy the process?
First, as to the impacts analysis, they have to rerun their model and rerun the data and come up with a no-bill scenario that, using socioeconomic data that does not include the Monroe Connector bypass as part of the data, one. Then they need to rerun their alternatives analysis using their model, using two sets of socioeconomic data, one without the road and one with the road. And the law is very clear that they cannot do what they admit they did, and that is do their alternative analysis with one set of socioeconomic data. And the third thing is they need to be candid with the public what they have done and just explain what they have done on paper and openly and not make a misrepresentation. Those are the three things.
Do you think currently, do you think that they are still laboring under a misrepresentation?
Yes, they are, for this reason, Your Honor, is that for the purpose of this case, and that is review of the NEPA violation, the court reviews only the administrative record. And through the record of decision, in fact, in the record of decision itself, they denied what they now admit. And what they then knew was not true.
So is that a technical misrepresentation? I mean, have they come clean with the public entity, with the public body, with the body politic, that an error was made? I thought they've done that.
Well, Your Honor, that's not entirely clear. It was done before the U.S. District Judge in fact, you can read the district judge's opinion.
But isn't that public?
Your Honor, that's post hoc. It's got to be part of the administrative record admission.
That's a different question.
Yes.
I'm just asking you. Asking procedurally. I'm just saying, isn't that information about the mistake now out in the public?
Yes, in the sense it's part of the public record.
However, you say it's not in the public. It's not in the proper form to be considered in front of the public for this analysis.
Well, and not only that, they have not taken the admission of the error and corrected the error in their impacts and alternatives analysis,
so that's,
which they must do for a valid NEPA determination.
I asked about the misrepresentation. I asked, are they still laboring under a misrepresentation? You said yes.
I said yes as to the administrative record. In terms of what they have admitted before the district court and this court, no.
So, in other words, your position is that the error that they now admit is a foundation of the administrative decision that they came to. Now, I think that it is at least arguable that they could come to the same administrative, you know, they could once again think that the Monroe Connector is the way to go.
Correct.
Even with this error being corrected. But they haven't, in your view, they haven't done that yet.
That's correct, Your Honor, is absolutely correct. In other words, we're not asking for a particular outcome. What NEPA requires, correct, NEPA requires an accurate and valid process with procedural and analytical integrity that is open and transparent, and that is what we did not have.
Isn't what they've done after the error was admitted, and you say it wasn't properly, timely admitted, what they've done after that, haven't they addressed, although maybe not in the form you want, haven't they addressed those concerns?
No, sir, they have not.
Okay.
They have not constructed a scenario for an impacts analysis.
That's not my question. I said haven't they addressed it, though? You just think the way they addressed it was insufficient? Didn't address it at all?
No, sir, as a legal matter, they did not address it at all.
As a practical matter.
Well,
yeah, I thought that they did, in fact, go back and try to take into account and factor in whether or not that made a difference in their analysis. Thought they did that.
No, sir. I think what you're referring to is this. In the alternatives analysis, not the impacts analysis, which is separate, no bill scenario has been constructed for the impacts analysis, which is a requirement of NEPA. Under the alternatives analysis, they say they went back and corrected 1 year's traffic forecast, 2035. And then they say, without revealing how, we checked everything else and it looked okay. Now, this is only the alternatives traffic analysis, not the impacts analysis. The problem with that is this. Under NEPA, they've got to explain what they did. We have no idea what they did and how they determined it was okay, one. And two, they did not rerun their alternatives analysis. In fact, they rely upon the same defective, uncorrected traffic forecast in the text.
Do you have any idea
of their justification?
Do you have any idea of the amount of time and money it would take to comply with the statute in the way that you say is necessary in this case?
Your Honor, I could make an educated guess, not as to the dollar amount, but I have to preface it by saying it would only be a guess.
But sure.
Our best guess is that if they work at it and go at it 6 to 9 months, they ought to be able to redo the process.
And 6 to 9 months, an additional cost, have you?
I don't know that because I don't know how much consultants will charge to redo the redo of the redo.
Let's just say they charge what lawyers charge.
I don't know what they do. Depends on the lawyer, Your Honor. Probably more than I have charged.
Well, consultants made the error, correct?
Well, consultants...
contributed to the error.
Consultants contributed to the error, but of course they act on behalf of the organization. In fact, they drafted many of the key documents that the public are supposed to rely on.
The consultants did?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I thought they got the information from some other entity.
Well, they got the if you at page, you can look, I believe it's page 4811 of the administrative record, is the email where I believe a Charlotte government person told them it's included in the data. The Monroe Connector Bypass is in the data. Yes, they did. They got the data. They got the data, some of the socioeconomic data from governmental sources, but then, as you have pointed out, then they had their consultant write a memo saying it's not in the data, and then had a consultant conduct an email survey suggesting it wasn't in the data.
So it sounds like the government gave them the correct word, and the consultant then somehow made an omission.
Perhaps. What all we know is we don't have to do, in fact, under Audubon, we're not supposed to do all that detective work. The issue really is what is in the public record and what is in the NEPA documents. Is accurate data used? Is it a valid analysis? And were they open and transparent with the public and permitting agencies who rely on this information? And in this case, those three basic fundamental issues were not done. If they can do this under NEPA, then you really have to seriously ask the question, what is NEPA worth?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Seth Wood. I represent the federal defendants in this matter. With me at council table is Scott Slusser. He represents the state defendants. We're each going to argue our client's positions here, but we're happy to answer questions about the entire record of this case.
When did your clients know that the no-build forecast assumed construction of the Monroe Connector?
Mr. Slusser may be able to answer that more specifically. It was known for sure after the ROD. It was known for sure after the record of decision was issued. There was a flag to it. Mr. Holloman mentioned it in 2009, August of 2009, I believe, from the regional planning official saying that this data is this project may be in the data, and so in response to that, the group that worked through this NEPA process worked on their quantitative analysis, which was a 2010 document. It was included in the final environmental impact statement. There's actually an email chain.
Nancy, can you just answer the question she asked you?
Yeah, I'm having a really difficult.
Just a straightforward question.
With certainty, it was after the record decision was issued.
Well, before the record of decision was issued, there is a document I found it at JA3650, which is an NCTA memo saying data technically assumes project is in place. This conflicts with the local government assumptions. So that's why I was interested in.
That's right, Your Honor, and that's
so
why.
So at that time that you did know there was an error.
It's possible.
That's before this record of decision was issued.
Right.
And if you corrected the error there, we would be in a very different situation here. I can't quite understand why the error wasn't corrected.
Well, when we're talking about errors, we're talking about one of the eight factors that went into this no-build model.
This factor's weighed 20%, so it's weighed more than the other factors.
I think it may depend on the locality, but yes, certainly it can be more than an eighth. The question here is, what did the defendants do in response to this information? In other words, did they just ignore it? Did they take action to look at it? And it's the latter. They took action, and they were reasonable in their activities. The district court said that the defendants were thorough. They took extensive steps to ensure the appropriateness of this data and using this data.
But when you go look at that, when they go back to the locals, and they don't go back to all of them, they go back to 10 of them, and there are many, many of them, or there's some number of them they go back to, and they say, are these statistics still okay? They don't tell them, we've put in the we've put in the Monroe connector in these statistics. Is that a problem? That, at least that's the way I read this record. If you can show me a point where they point to the Monroe connector problem and say to the locals, we've put this in, does this change your mind at all? But the way I read those emails, they're just saying, are you still okay with this conclusion, mm-hmm. without pointing out the Monroe connector issue. Is that correct?
I believe in volume 11, I don't have the page number, I apologize.
How can it be that you argue in this case and you can't answer those questions just off the top of your head? How's that possible? Did you not know this was going to be a critical issue?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you prepare for argument?
Absolutely.
Then how can you not answer the questions precisely? You can make an answer if you want to make an argument then about what we did was appropriate. That's a separate thing from being able to answer specific questions.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you seem not to be able to do that.
No, forgive me. The email chains in volume 11 about the three questions that were asked of the localities,
yeah.
12 localities. The first question went to, is it appropriate to assume that the data project is not in the data, something like that. And
the project is not in the data?
That was my understanding.
What does that mean?
Well, the connector bypass, excuse me. And
the
connector bypass, I'm sorry.
You think that the connector bypass is referred to? What? Where in the joint point appendix do you find that? Because I only have a part of it here, but I brought what I thought was relevant.
Yes.
So I hope maybe I brought the volume that you think this is in.
It would be volume 11, Your Honor. I'll concede Your Honor's point for the moment until I can find it. So.
I don't really have a point. I'm in the search for truth here.
Sure, I understand. The point was that they asked these localities about the data and whether it was appropriate to go forward with it.
Right. No, and I take your point, and that's what you say in your brief. That's one of your essential sort of arguments why this doesn't make any difference. But then I looked at the questions that you asked them, and the questions don't come clean and say, we put the build statistics in here with respect to one of these eight factors, one that counts 20%. Does that change your mind at all? Okay, tell me.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, forgive me. 4814 is an example of these questions. In the middle of the email chain there, from the Baker Engineering planner, he asks, all this is lead up on the important follow-up question. Based on your understanding of the TAS, which is the that small data forecasting process that occurred from 2001 to 2004, would, presumably that's a U, agree with our assumption that these forecasts represent a future scenario without the Monroe connector? That's
what? I can't hear the end of what you're saying.
Does this represent a future scenario without the Monroe connector? In other words, they asked the question.
So they asked the question saying there's not the Monroe connector.
Well, they asked whether they...
But it was. The Monroe connector was put in there. So they don't ask. That's what I'm asking you, is that they asked the question and pointed out to them, we've by mistake, I mean, nobody's saying bad faith here, as I understand it, we've put in the Monroe connector as part of the no-build scenario. Did they ever say that? Or words, that quote certainly doesn't say that.
That specific quote isn't there. And the reason, I honestly believe...
I thought you were me that as example of what they did ask the locals.
Well, they're asking whether they believe that their data, okay, that it's appropriate to go forward they're asking if they agreed with their assumption, that is Baker's assumption, that their forecasts represented a future scenario without the connector. In other words, and they're trying to figure out whether it's actually there, is honestly what's going on with these questions. So there's, when the issue was flagged, the page number that you've discussed and Mr. Holloman talked about, they followed up, the defendant agencies followed up and tried to figure out what's the important, is it in there, is it significant?
See, I don't get that from the quote. That's what I'm having the problem with.
Okay. Well, let me also, while I have a few minutes, just briefly mention the Laguna Greenbelt case in the Ninth Circuit.
Which case?
Laguna Greenbelt. It's a Ninth Circuit case that we discuss in our brief. And that case puts all this discussion about the no-build model and these future projections into context. which is that in that case, you had something somewhat similar to this, arguably worse, and the circuit court said, well, these future projections may have this project, this construction built into it. Nonetheless, there's a current need for this project, and that's articulated in the record, and it's articulated in the record here. And we believe that growth is going to continue in this area, and that's in the record, as far as the discussion about the growth that's going to occur in Union County and the surrounding.
So you have in the Ninth Circuit case the same error in the administrative record, never corrected in the administrative record and not corrected until you get to the district court? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you yes as to the first, as to the second, the third, I'm not sure.
You're not sure when it was?
I'm not sure about whether it was actually corrected. The argument was very similar to the one that the SCLC is putting here.
Okay.
The one point to emphasize is that the defendants here were using the best data that they had available to them. And that was just this regional data, the MUMPO data. And relying on that is something that's encouraged by federal regulations.
Well, can you explain exactly what this Baker consulting company did once the questions had been raised about the accuracy of the data?
They did a few things. First, the question was raised before the 2010 analysis. That analysis had interviews and discussions about whether the plan was in the land use plans, whether the project was in the land use plans for some of these localities. And the 2010 analysis says, yes, it appears to be in some of these localities. I think it mentions two. And it tried to adjust for that. After the final environmental impact statement was issued, and after the 2010 analysis was done, Fish and Wildlife came back with questions in June of 2010. And they asked this question, well, if the project is in some of your data, how can you do a no-build with that? And you first get a memo in June.
What?
I'm sorry, forgive me, Your Honor. If the project is in the data, how can you do this no-build?
In other words, if the Monroe Connector is in the no-build data, is that the case?
Right.
You say no.
Well, the memorandum that was written in June by Baker Engineering lays out the thought process and all the analysis that was done to reach that conclusion. They note that the project, the connector, is in this thing called the traffic demand network. Okay, that's a set of data that's over here. But that they, after doing the...
This memorandum that Baker is doing in response to the Fish and Wildlife Inquiry?
Yes, Your Honor. It is.
Okay, so tell us what they did. Tell us what Baker did then.
So that first memorandum, the June 28th memorandum, laid out their thought process and just said, here's why we believe that here's the sentence. While it may seem confusing that the MUMPO TAS projections do not account for the Monroe Connector Bypass, while the travel demand model network includes the Monroe Connector Bypass, this is fairly typical of socioeconomic forecasting and transportation planning. May I continue? I'm sorry. We're splitting our time, and I.
You haven't finished. Go ahead.
Sorry.
You know what? I think if you move the microphone just a tad away from you, because what we're getting is, I think it's hard for me to hear.
Sorry, Your Honor. Forgive me.
Okay.
And then there was after Fish and Wildlife asked additional questions, then. Wanted to be doubly sure, then you had these interviews with the 12 local planning officials. And that included MUMPO, which is the outfit that helped create this data in the first place. And then you had the two memoranda that were written subsequent to that. One final point is that the final impact statement, final environmental impact statement, does include a qualifier about trying to project into the future. And it says, our data is only going to be as good as the MUMPO data. And so there is something in the FEIS that
says we might be wrong.
It's at least acknowledging that there's always the difficulty.
To go back to what they said to the Fish and Wildlife, they kept saying, Baker kept repeatedly saying, the Monroe Connector, quote, was not included in socioeconomic projections. But it was.
That was their understanding. Right. No, that would be incorrect.
Okay.
The citation for that, this caveat was at 3,800. I'm into Mr. Slusser's time. Thank you.
May it please the court. I believe it's important to start off with an important distinction. Baker Engineering did not create the no-build projections. The no-build projections came strictly from MUMPO, Mecklenburg Union Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Maybe you can put your microphone up a little. Thank you.
So Baker did not put anything into the no-build scenario. They took that no-build scenario directly from MUMPO. That was their projections that they used in their travel demand model. MUMPO is in charge of a regional travel planning. As part of their planning tools, they create a regional travel demand model.
So then what does that net you, though? Go ahead and continue with the argument. You're saying the consultant got bad information.
No, not at all.
Or no build information.
Not at all. The
what are you saying?
You're saying there was no error?
There's no error in... And even the plaintiffs say in their brief, there's nothing wrong with MUMPO's projections. There's nothing wrong with that model. There's nothing wrong with the projections. The issue is whether it was reasonable for the agencies to use that as the no-build scenario for the NEPA process.
Well, hold on a second. So when Baker Engineering got the information from this MUMPO outfit, which I assume is some sort of a local planning commission, did they give them information that said, here's our projection based on road being built versus here's our projection based on no road being built?
No. MUMPO created a regional travel demand model, which models transportation, planning, and networks.
Just answer the question.
No, they did not. MUMPO had this model that had socioeconomic projections.
Who put the statistics for the factor, the commuting factor, about the Monroe Connector into the no-build count?
MUMPO.
MUMPO.
The Mecklenburg Union Metropolitan Planning Organization. That's,
I thought the question was just asked.
Yeah,
you.
I'm kind of more confused than I was before. I mean, either the data showed that there was a road being built or there wasn't a road being built, or they just ignored it completely. I still don't know the answer to that question.
I guess MUMPO is not concerned with one particular project. MUMPO is concerned with a regional travel network and planning for a regional area. So this travel demand model that MUMPO creates is for an 11-county area. This is their tool that they use. This is the best available tool that the agencies had for the NEPA process as far as socioeconomic projections. The only way to create socioeconomic projections specific for the Monroe project would be to create a regional travel demand model, just like MUMPO did, but without this project. As the record shows, MUMPO created, it was a three-year process, a top-down, bottom-up process to create these socioeconomic projections. That would be what the agencies would have to do and take out this, you know, what I would say insignificant influence that the project may have had in those projections, and then create another regional travel demand model.
So the modeling information that the consultant got, which then I assume they passed on to the Department of Transportation, when they were modeling the socioeconomic growth factors, it did not specifically include the Monroe Connector in its determinations.
The MUMPO projections technically included the project, and it included in that one.
That's the Monroe Connector. See, speak the same language
okay.
We do.
Monroe, the project, the Monroe Connector, is in the technically in the MUMPO projections, and it is in the MUMPO projections because it is in one of the eight land development factors that was in the bottom-up process. It is in that one factor in the sense that it is a road in the long-range transportation plan of the MPO.
So what was the eventual error that was made that was admitted at district court? What is the error?
The error is the misstatement in the ROD that the TAS socioeconomic forecast for the no build did not include the Monroe Connector.
Okay. Can you turn to JA3904? Do you have that in front of you?
I don't. Is that the TEAK meeting minutes?
It is the Monroe Connector Bypass Administrative Action Final Environmental Impact Statement.
I have that, yes. Your
Honor. Okay. Now, on page 3904, you all correct the no-build statistics, no-build alternative statistics, and there's a whopping correction, right?
That's correct.
How did you come to that? And if you knew there was an error, then why didn't you explain how you got that error?
and this
looks like you've acknowledged there's an error, and yet you don't admit it until you get to the district court.
And this is a prime example of how, I guess, complex this modeling is. This error in the FEIS is for traffic forecasting. Baker had nothing to do with traffic forecasting.
Well, I'm not trying to pin the blame on anyone.
Right.
Do you acknowledge there was an error?
There was an error in the fact that this traffic forecast.
No. An error, period. Putting the build, the Monroe Connector, into the no-build statistics. You don't acknowledge that was an error?
That was not. I would not say it's an error. It was reasonable to use.
Even though somebody on your side acknowledged it in the district court, and your colleague has acknowledged it was an error, you don't think it was an error?
It was an error to say in the ROD that the TAS forecast did not include the socioeconomic, that the socioeconomic projections did not include the project. That is the error.
So that was an error.
Okay. That was an error.
Why wasn't that? And the ROD is the final environmental impact statement.
Correct.
So why didn't you, when did you discover that error? Looks like you discovered it before you issued the final environmental impact statement, or at least you had evidence that there was some problem.
The error was the statement.
Okay.
Using MUMPO's projections is not an error. The question is whether that is reasonable under NEPA to use those projections as the no-build scenario. And all the effort that Baker went through and all the confirming, reconfirming, and so forth.
But NEPA is all about process, right?
Correct.
And it's supposed to be clean and crystal clear and open. And what in the process, the administrative process, let the public know of this issue?
All of the background information that Baker did even before conducting
the background
ICE.
Information you just said to Judge Agee was all was built on this error. And so why was okay?
Well, I would disagree that it's an error.
Is it your position that the information you got was correct and the information you got was completely usable? You don't think using that information as it was given to you was a mistake at all?
I'm sorry.
You think the mistake was somehow mischaracterizing that information? What was the mistake that was made?
The mistake was putting that statement that it did not include the Monroe Connector. Using MUMPO's data was absolutely reasonable.
I know, but the error was mischaracterizing what that data said.
Correct, in the ROD.
Well, that's it.
In that one statement, and I would just point out, in the Laguna case, the case did say, in addition, this litigation itself has offered further opportunities for public involvement in the education of the agency decision makers, curing defects that may have existed.
Let me ask you this. So you made a mistake, right? Somebody made a mistake in putting that statement out. Who's responsible? I do want to know, who's responsible for that statement?
The agencies.
Okay. The agency came up with that statement? Correct. Somebody in the agency looked at that and just flat got it wrong.
Is
that correct? Somebody in the agency. All right. Now, an error has been made. Tell us legally what you did under the NEPA process to correct that mistake, and tell us why that's sufficient. Just tell me. Just nothing. No legalese. Just tell me what happened.
By making Baker's memo and investigation and so forth, giving that to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, making that public.
But that didn't do it. You just told us that there was the error after the fact.
The statement was the error after the fact.
Judge Shedd is asking you, after you made that error, what did you do to correct it? After you made the statement, which you concede is the error, what did you do to correct it?
Nothing as far as NEPA, because this is the ROD, the final agency decision. And so the litigation would cure that misstatement.
So you made an error, you did nothing to correct the error. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Then you say the litigation, because you were sued because of that error, at least partly because of that error, then that litigation suffices to make the information public about that error? So then in the long run, the public now knows you made an error? Is that your theory?
And I have to...
That's what you said.
My point is, the error is that statement.
We got that down. We understand okay. that. You made that point.
And so curing that misstatement, that statement was incorrect. Yeah. Yes, we have acknowledged that in the litigation. That statement is incorrect. Using MUMPO's no-build scenario.
Nobody asked you that. Don't get back into that. Don't get back into that. But your error is you made a misstatement.
Correct.
And you did nothing to correct that misstatement except acknowledging that in litigation? And you think, is that
correct.
Your position?
Correct.
And that is sufficient for the NEPA process, you say?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
And I would just say that we contend it's a fly spec, just like what NEPA has cases have talked about. Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honors, if I could just correct a few statements about the record, I would address the court's attention to the joint appendix at page 3649. On September 28, 2009, Anna Gallup, who works for the famous MUMPO, wrote the consultant Baker an email which says the 2030 TAS forecasts were developed with the assumption that the Monroe Connector bypass would be constructed. You asked for the date, September 28, 2009, page 3649, and as Judge Montz pointed out, it's repeated in the December meeting of the Turnpike Authority at 3650. Now, why that is so significant is in this email that they sent out, the consultant sent out in July 2010, to the local people supposedly dealing with this issue. This is what they said. Based on the interview notes, as well as our discussions with MUMPO, Anna Gallup, who's the author of the email, we felt the TAS socioeconomic forecasts were a reasonable representation of the no-build condition. So in this email, they are assuring the local people when they do the survey, we've heard from Anna Gallup that it doesn't matter as to that this is a valid no-build scenario when, in fact, she has told them several months before it includes the no-build.
Well, you know, quite frankly, it may be under a technical reading. It just may be that there is some validity to that point, but I haven't heard it argued here today.
No,
I haven't heard it argued here today.
And, Your Honor, I have read this administrative record, and I've read the FEIS and the ROD, and this is the key point. There is no explanation in the administrative record how that is true.
Let me stop you and ask you this, Mr. Holloman. Based on the record, I'm asking you based on the record.
Yes,
I have trouble
sir.
Getting those answers from the other side. Based on the record, explain to me your argument, just succinctly now, on what error was made, how the error was made, and what, if anything, was done to address that error.
All right.
Tell me that first, and then we can argue about whether or not that was sufficient.
All right,
but just set that out.
I'm going to do that. First, the three separate points. As to the impacts analysis, the error was that the socioeconomic data included the Monroe Connector bypass in the no-build scenario. And in impacts, you're supposed to show the difference between no-build baseline and build scenario. You can't do that if you include the road and the baseline.
So there's no contrast between it. Then.
That's correct. So you don't show the impacts. That's why it's an environmental impact statement.
Okay. All right.
That's error one. Error two is in the alternatives analysis. They used one set of socioeconomic data to examine all the alternatives on traffic, with the result that they pushed all the induced traffic of the new bypass onto Highway 74, the bypass didn't exist. So they made that mistake. They then, as you pointed out, Judge Motz, in an errata, corrected one traffic forecast table. So that was done to correct it. But they then did not redo the analysis of the alternatives. And the third violation is this, and that is they told the public they did not do, the public and the permitting agencies, that they did not do what in fact they did. That is the error he acknowledges. So it is both.
That is include the Monroe Connector and the no build.
Correct. In other words, they denied what they had been told they were doing, and that is including the Monroe Connector bypass in the socioeconomic data. Well, so they're three separate and independent violations.
I suppose the argument on the other side is, well, now all this out, and I think that we had that articulated, all this is out in this litigation. So why doesn't that solve the problem?
Well, the only thing that is out in the litigation is that they made a false statement in the administrative record. There is the case law is strong. None of us can employ a post hoc rationalizations for the agency, including their lawyers. What they have not done is the real analysis that NEPA requires, and that is go back and use the right data in their appropriate models and lay out the impacts on the record. That's what I call the environmental impact statement. Go back and rerun the right data through their models show the alternatives.
Let me ask you. They've already reached the decision they've reached. Aren't they going to reach that same decision again? I'm just asking, isn't that realistic of what's going on?
Well, they may, Your Honor, but they may. And we recognize we are not asking for a particular outcome. Process is key. But I will point out this. It's not only their decision. It's also the permitting agencies. And the permitting agencies rely on the NEPA documents as valid and accurate descriptions of what the project will do.
Are you talking about EPA?
I'm talking about the water permits, such as the Corps and the North Carolina Division of Water Quality, for example. In other words, this is having multiple impacts on many streams and watersheds.
Let me ask one other question.
Yes, sir.
In your analysis, wherein lies the mistake that was made? I know that the state and all, they ratified it maybe, but I ask, wherein was the mistake made? I don't understand. Did the consulting group, do you think they tried to mislead? You think they just weren't competent? Do you think they didn't understand what they were tasked to do? Do you think it's sort of an understanding the result they're supposed to reach? I'm asking you, Mr. Holloman, what you think now.
And I'll tell you candidly, Your Honor, I find it mystifying. I really cannot explain it, because if you read this record, they were clearly told, and they admit they knew it. Well, then why not run it on valid? Why deny it publicly on the administrative record?
And well, I don't understand it more than that. Why don't you just do it right in the first
instance?
Why not
just do it right? It'd be a lot cheaper, easier, and they paid the consultants to just redo. Why not just do?
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll come
down and greet the lawyers and then go directly to our last case.